Okay, as I mentioned, breaking news once again out of Seattle this time. One confirmed dead, apparently, on the Pacific College campus shooting. Three others wounded. Suspect in custody. And boy, oh boy, here we go with a media orgy over gun control already starting across the country, sadly. And I think because there are deeper solutions that need to be thought about here. And no doubt one of those is the fact that we're disarming Americans, and maybe we ought to rethink that. Nobody knows that better than our guest, Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, in so many editions. I don't know how many to mention these days, but a landmark book and a landmark study. He was on the U.S. Sentencing Commission as a criminologist and statistician, a prolific author as well. You know many of his books, Freedomnomics, Debacle. A number of those, but today, once again, Dr. Lott, it's back to the gun issue in the wake of this latest shooting. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. I hadn't even heard anything about this.
Apparently four wounded at Pacific College happened about an hour and 15 minutes ago. One person killed, three others wounded. Perpetrator was apprehended, apparently disarmed by staff, awaiting a press conference from authorities there. But yet another random shooting where somebody goes in with a gun and decides to shoot some people on what I described last segment as no doubt a gun-free zone.
Yeah, no. State of Washington doesn't mandate that universities let people be able to carry permit concealed handguns on their campuses. And you know, we just had this attack with regard to University of California, Santa Barbara, right next to it. And there's so many things with that last attack that haven't gotten attention that I kind of, you would think that they would. One of the things that was, and it fits in exactly with what you're saying, when I was reading this 141-page manifesto, one of the things that I saw that hasn't gotten attention is that this guy explicitly talked about several places in the text why he decided to go after certain targets, not others. And his main reason was he was worried that people with guns would stop him if he went after certain targets, even though they were something that he thought would be very attractive for him to go after. Mm-hmm. I often have these debates with people about, why people choose particular ones in the gun-free zone nature for these things. But they always say, well, you know, these guys want to die anyway. It doesn't really matter that somebody's going to kill them or could kill them. But I'll just read you this quote. This is one of the quotes here. This is Elliot Rodger talking about which type of place to go and attack. He says, another option is Deltopia, a day which many young people pour in from all over the state to have a spring break party on Del Playa Street. I figured this would be the perfect day to attack Isla Vista. But after watching YouTube videos of previous Deltopia parties, I saw there were way too many cops walking around on such an event. It would be impossible to kill enough of my enemies before being dispatched by those damnable cops.
Right.
And, we see this happen where you figure it just can't be random that you have, since 1950, all but two of these mass shootings have taken place where guns are banned.
I think it's worth remembering Aurora again, because you had said something during that crisis that I thought was very relevant in what theater he picked. It wasn't the closest one where he lived. James
Holmes. Right, there were seven movie theaters showing the premiere of the Batman movie within a 20-minute drive of the killer's apartment there. He didn't go to the movie theater that was closest to his home. He didn't go to the movie theater that advertised itself prominently as having the largest auditoriums in the state of Colorado, which you think would be attractive for somebody who wanted to have as many victims as possible to go after. Mm-hmm. Instead, he went to the only one of the seven movie theaters that posted signs banning permit concealed handguns. But if you look at the mall shooting in Omaha, Nebraska, or in Kansas City, or in Salt Lake. In Omaha, you have eight malls, eight enclosed malls. Only one of those malls had posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. Guess which one the guy went to? And that one was all the way across town. from where he lived. And you see the same things for these other places. Similar venues that they could attack. In the Aurora, Colorado one, we know that he cased the movie theaters. We know that he went to multiple movie theaters before he picked one to go and attack. And he went to the one that posted signs. He went to other ones there, too. And so, at some point, people have to realize that this stuff just isn't random. I mean, why not go? There are lots of student hangouts in a state like Washington. Washington, though, is a place that has a relatively large percentage of the population with permanent concealed handguns. I mean, just on Wednesday this week, there was a student at the University of Pennsylvania who's off campus but had a permanent concealed handgun and was able to stop a robbery from occurring. Mm-hmm. But but when you're on campuses, there you are not allowed to go and carry. At some point, the media has to seriously discuss this. I wrote an article for Fox about a month ago. The Wall Street Journal, ironically, had this story by this guy named Timothy Noah, who writes for Slate and some other left-wing publications. He used to write for the Wall Street Journal, and the Wall Street Journal let him write a guest piece where he was making fun of this attack at a FedEx place, saying that, you know, all these guys say that guns deter, but this occurred near Kennesaw, Georgia, where they mandate that people own guns, and yet this attack still occurred. The irony is that the picture on the piece showed two signs banning permanent concealed handguns in the FedEx facility. So, you know, obviously he didn't know what picture the editors were going to put up with this piece, and my guess is the editors didn't even look closely enough to see the signs, but there were two big signs that were there. And here this guy is poo-pooing the fact that these criminals would pick a place that would have, the victims weren't able to defend themselves, and yet the very picture shows the proof that was there. And I'll just mention this quickly.
Yeah.
The killers at Columbine were strongly against the concealed handgun law that was going before the Colorado State Legislature. In fact, the day of the Columbine attack was the day that final passage of the bill was scheduled for the state legislature. I was actually in Denver, Colorado, the morning of the Columbine attack. Legislators had asked me to fly in and answer questions because later that afternoon they were planning on voting on it. Of course, the vote was postponed. But Doug Dean, who was the majority leader of the state house who had invited me in, he told me afterwards that Dylan Klebold, one of the killers there, had written his state legislators asking them to vote against the concealed carry bill, and that one of the things that upset him in the letters was that that bill that they were considering would allow people to carry permanent concealed handguns on school property.
Hold that thought. Dr. John Locke continues on the other side. Don't go away.